The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, January 28th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We got a lot of content for you today, including in hour two, I'm going to give you my dress rehearsal run through of my new presentation entitled Green Rush. It's a look at the competing medical marijuana industries throughout the different medical marijuana states and how Oregon is the best place to invest in the Green Rush. So stay tuned. In hour two, we'll go through that presentation for you. We'll also post it up on our website at 420radio.org. In our first hour, though, at half past, we get to visit with a good friend of the show, Greg DeHote from Normal UK and the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. He'll be giving us our update in Across the Pond, telling us all the stuff that's going on with marijuana reform in the UK and beyond. Also, we'll have time for a radical rant today. I published a piece on High Times that was about basically what is the best kind of legalization, and my response, of course, is the legalization that passes. That brought forth a comment from a blogger who shall not be named, and I'm going to respond to that comment with some quotes from his writing and the scares from I-502 that didn't come true and still haven't come true. That's coming up in the Radical Rant. Also, we'll go behind the headlines today. There's yet another poll, the 15th poll in the past 5 years, showing majority support for marijuana legalization. We'll tell you which news organization came out with this and break down some of the crosstabs in that data. We'll also have time for our daily Toker Tunes. Today is Electric Tuesday, so Electric Bob will be calling in. We've got a song today coming to you from the streets, so we'll get to hear all about that group and the music we'll be hearing. Plus, don't forget that we've got later on tonight Thrasher Sports at 8 p.m. Pacific time live. Me and Herb Thrasher will be here breaking down the Super Bowl. And speaking of Super Bowl, tonight I'm appearing live at the Ed Foreman Show at 10 p.m. out there at Dante's, which is West Burnside and 3rd Avenue. I'll be appearing on the Ed Foreman Show delivering my monologue on the Stoner Bowl. We'll film that and bring it to you on a future episode. We've also got our 420 Radio News coming up after the break. And remember, tomorrow, no live show. I'll be on a train heading down to the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, where on Thursday and Friday, I'll be bringing you live coverage from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Stick around. The news is next.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. 420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, January 28th, 2014, brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition. I'm Russ Belville. NBC News is the latest organization to record nationwide majority support for marijuana legalization. 55% of Americans surveyed would support laws in their state, like Washington and Colorado, where adults 21 and older are allowed to possess and use cannabis. Another 24% of respondents would not seek to repeal a legalization law if it was passed in their state. As usual, people under age 35 overwhelmingly support legalization by a 49-point margin, while people over age 65 oppose legalization by a 21-point margin. Democrats are for legalization by 34 points, and independents favor legalization by 21 points, while Republicans oppose legalization by 23 points. There remains a gender gap. 59% of men support legalization versus 51% of women. White Americans' support of legalization lags behind African Americans and Hispanics, and this marks the 15th poll in the past 5 years that has recorded majority support for marijuana legalization. The Marijuana Policy Project today announced the placement of 5 Marijuana is Safer billboards in the New Jersey area around the Super Bowl. 2 ads featuring anonymous football players, one ad in Seahawks colors and the other in Broncos colors, states, quote, "Marijuana is less harmful to our bodies than alcohol," then asks, "Why does the league punish us for making the safer choice?" End quote. 2 other ads state that marijuana is, quote, "safer than alcohol and football," end quote. And the 5th ad compares the nearly 750,000 arrests for marijuana possession last year to the 750,000 attendees of the last 10 Super Bowls. The billboards are located on I-78 near the New Jersey Turnpike Toll Plaza in Newark on I-495 leading to the Lincoln Tunnel in North Bergen, and on I-80 East off the Turnpike in Teaneck. 2 more are located on the Garden State Parkway near the Raritan Toll Plaza north of Sayreville. Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy announced the approval of 4 applications to produce medical marijuana statewide. The state added a 4th farm license after updating estimates of production that were necessary to serve the state's 1,684 registered patients. 16 companies paid a non-refundable $25,000 fee to apply. The 4 companies that will be growing medical cannabis had to set up a $2 million escrow account to qualify to pay a $75,000 annual fee for their license. Producers, therefore, will have generated $700,000 for the state even before the first medical marijuana is sold. An additional 27 companies have paid a non-refundable $1,000 fee, hoping to land one of the 3 to 5 expected dispensary licenses, which will cost $5,000 annually. Connecticut is home to over 3.5 million people, making its 46.8 patients per 100,000 the second lowest rate in the nation, next to New Jersey's 13.5 per 100,000. Medical marijuana was approved last year in Maryland, but the state is no closer to providing medicine to patients. Last year, the legislature approved a program to distribute medical marijuana through research hospitals, but so far, no regulations have been written and no hospitals have chosen to do the research. The hospitals have been reluctant to get involved, citing the federal funds they receive that would be jeopardized by studying the Schedule I drug. Plus, access to marijuana would be limited to the federal government supply at the University of Mississippi, which they'd be reluctant at best to allow. Delegate Dan K. Morheim, a Baltimore County Democrat and the Assembly's only medical doctor, plans to introduce a new bill that would allow physicians to recommend marijuana rather than require the hospitals to distribute it, leaving it up to patients to find their supply. For now, patients still face arrest in Maryland, but may provide an affirmative defense of medical necessity in court. A Georgia lawmaker has filed a bill to revive the state's dormant 1980 medical marijuana law. The law was championed by a woman named Mona Taft, whose husband Harris used cannabis in his battle with cancer up to his death in 1979. The law empowers the Georgia Composite Medical Board to supply medical marijuana to doctors and patients seeking relief for cancer and glaucoma, and the new bill by Representative Alan Peek would add epilepsy to that list. The board, however, has been dormant for 2 decades, and the federal government stopped supplying the only legal source of cannabis in 1982. Representative Peek's bill would limit marijuana to just the high CBD oil popularized in the Sanjay Gupta documentary Weed. Only doctors at 5 research universities would be able to recommend cannabis. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, January 28th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. You can get the transcripts of our 420 Radio News every day at the National Cannabis Coalition website. Visit ncc420.com for more. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at the polls, 15 of them now, that have shown majority support for marijuana legalization in the United States. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
The
The Jody Emery Show with Jody Emery from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT, right here on 420radio.org.
Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And today we're looking at the polls that have recently come out. We've had two or three or four of them in the past couple of months that have shown majority support for marijuana legalization. And up on our web screen, I'm showing a graph that I have designed. And this graph shows you every poll ranging from 2001 all the way to today's poll from NBC News. And the round dots represent polling organizations, the squares represent news organizations, and the diamonds are magazines, Associated Press and Newsweek. And what we find is, since 2009, 15 of those polls are showing up at above 50% or above. And when we can restrict this, we are finding now more polls that are showing up that are pro-marijuana than are against it. If we restrict the list to just polls from 2014, ABC News Washington Post came out with a 49% poll on January 12th. And then we have three polls, CBS, CNN, and NBC, showing 51, 55, and 55% support. So a 3-to-1 disparity of majority support versus non-majority support. And even in that 49% poll, it was a plurality. It was 49% yes, 48% no. So we can't find a single poll from 2014 yet that shows a majority support for prohibition. Looking back to 2013, we had two polls that were showing majority support for legalization, Gallup at 58% and the Pew Center at 52%. Meanwhile, Fox News came out with a poll that was the only one in 2013 to show plurality support for prohibition. Fox News came in at 49% no, 46% yes. Then there were two other polls, CBS News and Associated Press. CBS News poll was a tie, 45-45, and Associated Press came in 36% yes, 29% no. So once again, out of five polls, we could only find one with majority support for prohibition. We found with plurality support for prohibition, excuse me, and two with majority support for legalization. Even dating back to 2012, we see this trend where four polls came out in 2012 that showed majority support for legalization. Angus Reid Global Monitor and Public Policy Polling, Quinnipiac University, and Rasmussen, that ranged 51, 56, 54, and 58% majority support for legalization. There were two polls in 2012 that showed majority support for prohibition, Gallup at 50% and ABC News at 50%. So just bare majorities. And then other polls showed plurality support for prohibition, General Social Survey at 49, CBS News at 49. And then another CBS News poll in 2012 was tied at 47%. Going back one more year to 2011 is about the last time we could find polls where there was majority support, large majority support for prohibition. CBS News and CNN, CBS at 51, CNN at 56% against legalization. But there are also two polls in 2011 that showed majority support for legalization. Angus Reid at 55, Gallup at 50. So ladies and gentlemen, what we've got here is a situation where the majority support for prohibition has pretty much evaporated since the legalization of marijuana took place in 2012. In fact, if we restrict the polls to just those that took place from November of 2012 on, we find that there was only one poll with majority support for, I'm sorry, two polls with majority support for prohibition, and both of those polls got better after a year or two. Gallup's poll was 50% support for prohibition in 2012, but by 2013, that opposition had dropped to 39%. Same goes for ABC News Washington Post, which in 2012 found 50% support for prohibition, now just 48% support in their January 2014 poll. It's not a question of if we're going to legalize marijuana. It is a question of when and how. And these latest numbers from the NBC poll showing that the young people still overwhelmingly support legalization. More liberal-minded voters overwhelmingly support legalization. These are important numbers as we head into the 2014 election, especially looking down in Florida, where Democrat Charlie Crist may gain a lot of votes from the medical marijuana ballot that just measure that just made the ballot down there. We still have a gender gap between men and women, anywhere between 8 to 10 points. We must address this as we move forward in legalization. Women are the key to overturning prohibition, just like they were the last time. All right, and that sound says it's time for us to celebrate our last live show of the week, actually, Brian, so we better celebrate extra hard.
All right, I'll start letting
go. All right, here we go. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Let him bring in the beat.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say little red colored, darling, your words to fail. Little red carpet, you need a lover that's gonna lay.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and we are joined by our Electric Tuesday music editor and the host of Electric Bob's Boogaloo that airs here on 420 Radio. It's Electric Bob. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Russ?
Good. I had to adjust the screen a little bit because I love your Carl Sagan icon avatar so much.
Oh yeah, I can send you that if you'd like to use it. There's a whole I think that's a Tumblr page or something with a whole bunch of Carl Sagan memes.
I love it. Yeah. Send it my way. I was just telling Red Eyes on yesterday's show how when I was a kid, I had a quarter where I studied astronomy, and it was the same time when Carl Sagan's Cosmos series was on. So it was just, Carl Sagan just means so much to me as far as how much he opened up my mind. And then later to find out that he was a daily pot smoker, that just cinched it.
You know, they're bringing the Cosmos back. They're doing a new series with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's awesome. And, he's definitely someone who's worthy of taking up the mantle of Carl Sagan. Because, you know, a lot of these scientist types, they have trouble talking to the average folks. But Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's got a good command. He's got good communication skill. I'm looking forward to that.
He's great. If you have the time ever, go download his podcast from the Joe Rogan Show.
Yeah.
He was on there for 3 hours just talking.
Ah. That's awesome. Looking forward to that. All right. So we've got Electric Bob's Boogaloo, a new episode coming up tomorrow night at 10 p.m. So we're looking forward to that. And we've also got a song here for our Electric Tuesday break. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
The Streets is they're unfortunately broken up now, but it was one MC and a few instrumentalists. And there were an underground UK type thing. And this song is Irony of It All. It's basically like an alcoholic versus a stoner. and that's what the whole song is.
All right.
So at first, the song starts with the alcoholic, then it goes to the stoner, and then it goes back and forth. It's basically an argument between them.
That's interesting, especially considering the marijuana is safer billboards that just went up around the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Well, this song's old. It came out in 2001.
All right. Well, let's get to it. This is The Streets with The Irony of It All.
Hello! Hello! My name's Terry and I'm a law abider. There's nothing I like more than getting fired up on beer. And when the weekend's here, I exercise my right to get paralytic and fight. Good bloke, fairly, but I get well leery when geezers look at me funny. Bouncing round like bunnies. I'm likely to cause mischief. Good clean grief, you must believe, and I ain't no thief. Law abiding and all legal. And who cares about my liver when it feels good? What you need some real manhood. Rasher, burning casher, putting people's backs up. Public disorder, I give you public disorder. I down 8 pints and run all over the place. Spit in the face of an officer. See if that bothers you. Cause I never broke a law in my life. Someday I'm gonna settle down with a wife. Come on, lads, let's have another fight.
My name's Tim and I'm a criminal. In the eyes of society, I need to be in jail. For the choice of herbs I inhale. This ain't no wholesale operation. Just a few eights and some PlayStations, my vocation. I pose a threat to the nation. And down the station, the police hold no patience. Let's talk space and time. I like to get deep sometimes and think about Einstein and Carl Jung and old kung fu movies I like to see. Pass the hydrator, please. Yeah, I'm floating on thin air. Going to Amsterdam in the new year. Top gear there. Because I take pride in my hobby. I homemade bongs using my engineering degree. Dear leaders, please legalise weed for these reasons.
Like I was saying to him, I told him, fuck with me and you won't live. So I smacked him in the head and downed another Carlin. Bada bada bing for the lad's light. Mad fight, his face a sad sight. Vodka and snake bite. Going on like a right geese. He's a twat. Shouldn't have looked at me like that. Anyway, I'm an upstanding citizen. If a war came along, I'd be on the front line with them. Can't stand crime either, them hooligans on heroin. Drugs and criminal, those thugs are the pinnacle of the downfall of society. I got all the anger pent up inside of me.
No, I don't see why I should be the criminal. How can something with no recorded fatalities be illegal? And how many deaths are there per year from alcohol? I just completed Gran Turismo on the hardest setting. We pose no threat on my settee. Oh, the pizza's here. Will someone let him in, please? We didn't order chicken. Not a problem. We'll pick it out. I doubt they meant to mess us about. After all, we're all adults, not louts. As I was saying, we're friendly, peaceful people. We're not the ones out there causing trouble. We just sit in this hazy bubble with our quarters, discussing how beautiful Gail Porter is. MTV, BBC Two, Channel 4 is on till 6 in the morning. And then 6 in the morning, the sun dawns and it's my bedtime.
Causing trouble? You're stinking rabble, boys, saying I'm the lad who's spoiling it. You're on drugs. Really bugs me when people try and tell me I'm a thug just for getting drunk. I like getting drunk, because I'm an upstanding citizen. If a war came along, I'd be on the front line with them.
Now, Terry, you're repeating yourself. But that's okay, drunk people can't help that. A chemical reaction happening inside your brain causes you to forget what you're saying.
What? I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm perfectly sane. You stinking student lame-o, go get a job and stop robbing us of our taxes.
Well, actually, according to research, government funding for further education pales in insignificance when compared to how much they spend on repairing leery drunk people at the weekend in casualty wards all over the land.
Why, you cheeky little swine, come here! I'm gonna batter you! Come here!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Rust to 420 420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belleville Show.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
Drug Truth Network, Cultural Baggage with Dean Becker from Houston, Texas, every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 4 p.m. GMT, right here on 420radio.org. Okay,
everybody get okay.
Marijuana prohibition is a failed drug policy we have exported across the globe. Now we take a moment to check in with our allies in Europe, fighting to end adult cannabis prohibition as we go across the pond.
All right. All the way via Skype, we've got our good friend Greg DeHoat from the UK Cannabis Social Clubs and NORML UK. How you doing, Cure? Oh, I'm sorry. I had you on mute. Try that again.
Too bad. How are you, Rob?
Ah, doing fantastic.
Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, good to hear from you. And, you know, we always looking forward to what's going on. In 2014, we've got a brand new year. What's happening in the UK for reform?
We're just kicking it into touch, man. We are really going for it this year. We've got several plans for the UK CSE. We're going to keep going forwards with the process. We had 13 throughout the country last year and one outside Parliament. We're going to keep that pace up. We've got the Global Cannabis March coming in Cardiff. I think that's on the 3rd of May this year. I don't know, you're good with the calendar dates usually. I think that's the date this year.
First Saturday?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 3rd of May.
Yeah, so we've got that to look forward to. And again, we've had such a good turnout at our protests. We're hoping to build on it from last year. I think there was about 800 turned up last year. So if we can push over the 1,500 mark, that would be nice. The UK CSE have got a plan to regulate cannabis in the UK for the cannabis social clubs and collectives. So we're going to be moving forward with that plan, seeing if the cannabis consumers accept that model. But it's been written in consideration of UN conventions, so it doesn't actually break those. It can actually be made provisions under the Misuse of Drugs Act to adopt this kind of regulatory model of cannabis cultivation, and it's based on what's going on in other parts of the world with the cannabis social clubs, like now even adopted in Uruguay, but started in Spain and in Belgium and Austria. So it's important that we keep in line with that kind of movement, because it's working, it's being accepted. We've also been looking at Transform over in the UK, who were also involved with the Uruguay regulation project. They've just released the How to Regulate Cannabis book, so that's also been quite influential, and I'm still working my way through it. It's quite a detailed book. I don't know if you've managed to get your hands on a copy yet, but I'd recommend it. It's a good one to look at.
Yeah, it sounds good. And I'm wondering, you know, we've gotten so much coverage of marijuana legalization in Colorado and Washington, especially January 1st when the sales began in Colorado. How has this impacted the coverage in the UK media? And is it giving any pressure to lawmakers to remove cannabis out of a Class B?
They as of yet just ignoring it. I think it's a case of they're going to wait and see how it really does unfold, because it's hard to tell after a month. Yeah, we had great news, 5 million taken in the first week. That's a really good figure to look at. We can push that in their faces and say, yo, this is the money that organized crime are getting every single week, and you can compare it to our population. And it's just a hardcore fact and bit of evidence to really say that, you know, this policy isn't working over here, and all this money is being wasted, and this could be going into the school systems. We are trying to engage with the MPs, and it was great news to see Obama saying that cannabis was no more harmful than alcohol last week. And we've encouraged people to write to their MPs and ask what their opinion is. Do they agree with Obama or not? So we can try and gauge some more feedback in that sort of area.
Any word from Professor Nutt on Obama's comments?
Not that I've seen. Yeah, I've not.
I mean, he got fired for saying that marijuana was safer than horseback, or ecstasy was safer than horseback riding. I imagine he must kind of be grinning at the safer message coming from the president.
Yeah, if I can't find a reaction from him, I might have to drop him an email and see if he can write something. That'd be nice little response to get, I think, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how has the growth of the reform movement been going there? I know last we spoke in 2013, Normal Ireland had just started up, and Normal UK was branching out. Give us some idea on chapters and meetings and such.
Most of my time has been spent in writing this policy for the UK CSE, so we can start moving forward and putting our actions where our words are. But normally we're going to be able to support that model now and do it on a kind of a more political level than what the UK CSE can kind of do. We are, you know, we're the consumer groups, unfortunately, politicians don't always listen to us. But if we've got an organisation that can act on our behalf, and address it in the way that it needs to be addressed, that's always beneficial. We can work we've got Leap UK over here now, and they're pressing forwards. They're going to be barging into this argument a little bit more heavily soon, and that would be good. I think 2014 is the year to do it because of such a sort of global recognition, and the fact that we've got actual nations regulating cannabis now, not just small individual sort of like states or areas.
And it also sounds as if the notion of legalization made its way into the talks that are happening in Davos, Switzerland right now among the world's richest people. So who knows what's possible this year?
That I'm not aware of that at the moment.
The other thing that was interesting to me, and is a story that we told on the news, I think, last week, and maybe we'll have to talk to Ming Flanagan about this perhaps as well, but the man in Ireland, a blind man in Ireland who walked himself into the Gardaí, I guess it's called, the state police in Ireland, walked himself into the state police and said, here, I've got a bag of weed, arrest me. And his goal is that he wants to use, you know, the legal assistance that's granted under the laws there to be able to challenge for his right to use marijuana medically for glaucoma. Had you heard of this case, and what do you think?
I have heard of it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I wish him all the best of luck. It's we do see some good old tactics being pulled out in Ireland now and again, I think. And best of luck to him. I'm not sure of the inner workings of it and how it does work on the legal aspect, but it seems like he's got a fair bit of attention and support. It's like I say, you're talking about, it's gone around the world.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, and we'll see if we can't get him or a representative to get on the show. Maybe we'll get in touch with Normal Ireland, and maybe they can help us out. That would be a great interview. Now, there's all sorts of events that happen, of course, in Europe. Isn't Spanibus coming up soon? Maybe February, is that right?
We have got Spanibus. There's Cannabis that's in March, I think, in Barcelona. We've got Cannabis Liberation Day in Holland. They're sort of like preempting the end of prohibition by celebrating the liberation of it. Like in Europe, they have a Liberation Day from World War II. So it's a theme that they're sort of like trying to carry on. They do have that kind of that recognition over there. we've got other events over here in the UK. Of course, we got 420 in Hyde Park last year. We got about 10,000 people turned up. So we're hoping to build upon that again this year, make it a little bit more centralized and focused, try and get an actual message out there this time, and you know, really engage with the public that come along, because I think it's important that we get the message out to them and they go home and take something away from them, rather than, yeah, that was a really cool day, we all got baked in the park. Because, you know, if we can inspire them to actually go, you know, something can change, these things are happening, you know, we can get behind this now. One of the biggest arguments I always hear is, I'll get involved when everyone else does, but everyone's already involved now, and it's just time to just get on the roller coaster and go for it.
That's right.
We've also got a film coming out this year in the UK. We've had a documentary crew following us around to all of our protests and events. It's going to be called Grassroots, and they've even come out to America and filmed some of our friends from Denver and California that, you know, we went around, and you meet in all your travels all the time. So it's you know, that's really good. It's all about activism, and it's international now, and they're going to carry on filming for another 4 months, and I think they're going to release it sometime at the end of 2014. So I'm looking for that. I'll shoot you the trailer for it. You can get it into your cycle.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see that. And last time we had talked, we'd also gone a little bit on medical marijuana and discussing how that worked in the EU. Has there been any activism on that front as far as getting you know, universal recognition for that across the EU?
We're talking about David Nutt. He's just been made the I think president of the European Brain Council.
Oh.
So I don't know. That's not specifically anything about drugs, but he is a world famous neuropsychopharmacologist. So you'd imagine that they'd give him a good role with our brains.
Mm-hmm.
And well, hopefully that will just influence a little bit more science involvement in drug laws in Europe, or at least the pressure of pushing forward for change. We do have some really stupid drug laws changing over here in the UK. They have brought in a zero tolerance for cannabis. If you're caught driving under the influence of cannabis, they're taking a zero tolerance stance on it, and they're using spittalizers. So, like, they're going to, you know, swab your mouth for your saliva. If it tests positive for THC, you'll get your driving license taken off of you and potentially banned for a period of time. This isn't an evidence-based policy at all. This isn't about impairment. This is just about the fact that this person has used it. It doesn't say how long ago they used it. They've just done a trial period over 2 months, from December 1st to January 31st in Sussex, right by where I am. And I think 137 people were stopped for DUIs for alcohol and cannabis. But I haven't been able to get the figures yet. I've put in a Freedom of Information request to find out how many were stopped for cannabis, how many were stopped for alcohol, how many were involved with accidents under the influence of each of them, and you know, some other figures, so we can just gain a better picture on that. But there are going to be 11 more forces, police forces around the country, that are going to roll out this cannabis spittalizer zero tolerance policy, and then it'll go go national. It was actually brought, the zero tolerance law was brought in because firstly, cannabis is against the law, but secondly, a person who didn't have a driving license and obviously didn't have insurance or to drive got in a car after consuming cannabis, or allegedly after consuming cannabis, a joint was found in the car that was half smoked. They couldn't test the person because after he hit a girl while he was driving and killed her, he fled from the scene of the crime, and it took the police 9 hours to find him, and in which time any cannabis in the system would have left. And when they did the blood test, there wasn't active metabolites in there. That has had a knock-on effect of drivers that, you know, have got a license and do have insurance and are responsible. If you're found using cannabis, whether or not you're behind the wheel, if they find the evidence that you've used cannabis and you have been behind the wheel, they can use it to take your license away from you.
Wow. Now, these saliva swabs, is this a situation where they're using them on people pulled over for suspicion of impairment already, or is this a roadblock situation where they just get everyone who comes through?
It's literally just had the 2 months of testing, so we haven't seen any of that yet, or we haven't had any reports of that yet, should I say. it's something I'm going to keep my eye on, because I've been involved in stops where police have used Section 44 of the Terrorism Act to pull over anyone mm-hmm. with suspicion of anything, and terrorists use drugs, of course. So that's they look for heroin and cannabis when they stop you on a terrorist suspicion. They were actually doing those stops illegally, because in some forces they weren't actually getting. They had to get a 20 or 30 day license, and if they weren't getting the license to be able to do those pullover stops without reasonable suspicion, then they were acting outside of the law. Never saw any repercussions from doing that. We don't know. I'm not suggesting that they're going to do that, but it's, of course, something I'm going to keep my eye on.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will keep in touch and get updates from you from time to time here on what's going on in the UK. We appreciate your activism and keep up the good work. And coming back to the States anytime soon?
We'll review that when the time comes. I'm always trying, of course.
All right. Thanks, Greg. We'll talk to you again sometime.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Make sure you check out normal-uk.org and ukcsd.co.uk.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Make sure you check out normal.co.uk for Normal UK, and also the UK Cannabis Social Clubs at ukcsc.org. We're back with a radical rant. Good one. Stick around.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana, and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
Is there anyone out there who still isn't clear about what doing drugs does? Okay, last time. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Yeah, do I get toast with that?
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
I wrote this piece for High Times magazine that was entitled, What is True Legalization? The One That Passes. And as part of that, I wrote, Marijuana is not truly legal until an 18-year-old can smoke it, grow it, sell it, and buy it without limit. If you're old enough to vote for the leader of this land and you're old enough to tote an army rifle in the sand, you're old enough to toke a freaking joint in your hand. Public marijuana use should be no more restricted than tobacco and alcohol use, and probably less restricted. A great legalization law will legalize personal possession and cultivation without limits, regulate marijuana commerce without exorbitant taxes, and free all nonviolent pot prisoners and expunge their criminal records. But it can't be a great law if it doesn't pass. I believe the most important part of legalization is personal possession, for it makes marijuana no longer contraband, and the sight and smell of it and paraphernalia are no longer probable cause for a cop to ruin my day. Achieve that, and the cultivation, commerce, taxation, and amnesty issues become easier to achieve. But if holding out to solve those issues within a legalization plan dooms personal possession, we make no progress in solving any of those issues. So that was basically the gist of my piece. And then a commenter showed up on the post, a blogger whose name escapes me, who says, "No, activists didn't have to support I-502 in Washington State. Only the most gullible did. Most who voted for I-502 had no idea how restrictive it was and the devastating effect it would have on the medical marijuana community. You know, all those effects you said would never happen, rectal Russ. Russ Belville is a fucking dumbass, but he knows I called this one." Okay, so that's the way we're going to play. All right, well, as usual, a bunch of ad hominem, no links or quotes or stats or data to back up the bleeding, but that's fine. I've come to expect that. So I figured I would, give an example, provide an example of what it's like to actually go back and do some research and find out what someone had written in the past and use that to determine, whether or not the predictions had come true. Now, this comes about because of some of the things that this same blogger, again, whose name, completely, slips my mind, had written prior to I-502. Things he said that, oh my God, if we passed I-502 in 2012, these terrible things would happen. I thought it'd be interesting to go through those quotes once again and determine, just exactly how well, because again, he does say he knows I called this one. So I would just like to go over again what he called so that we can verify how accurate it was. The first thing he claimed, quote, "You'd better hope some redneck cop with an attitude about stoners doesn't pull you over on the way home," end quote. This was part of a paragraph where he was pointing out that, the cops would be shooting hippie fish in a barrel outside of Hemp Fest once it was legal. They'd just wait outside of Hemp Fest and everybody leaving is going to get an automatic DUI because it's 5 nanograms now and shooting fish in a barrel, right? Well, turns out that the Seattle Police Department participated, King County Sheriffs also, participated in a DUI crackdown that always happens between the middle of August and the Labor Day weekend. Now, the middle of August, it just so happens to coincide with the third weekend of August, which is when Seattle Hemp Fest takes place. Now, in 2012, they had more DUI arrests outside of Hemp Fest than in 2013, the year it was legal. When they'd be sitting outside of Hemp Fest shooting hippie fish in a barrel. There were fewer DUIs outside of Hemp Fest. So number one, didn't turn out to be true. Number two, quote, "As far as carrying around an ounce of marijuana and not be concerned with arrest, unless you bought that ounce at a state licensed store, you'd still get busted," end quote. Nope, that hasn't happened. The scare tactic of, since there wouldn't be any stores, you wouldn't have a legal store ounce and you'd be busted, that we constantly said wasn't true, that could never happen, hasn't happened. No, nobody's been busted for carrying around an ounce, even though the stores don't exist yet. Nobody's been busted for that. So that's two. Number three, quote, "If you took Emery at his word and happily passed what you believe to be that gloriously legal joint to your buddy, after all, Mark Emery said it was okay, then you'd get your ass busted for distribution," end quote. Well, this was the law before I-502, distribution, but I challenge anyone to find me someone who's been busted for joint passing distribution since 2012. One person, find me one. Because I was at Hemp Fest in 2013, and I saw thousands of people passing joints, some of them pretty obviously younger than 21, passing joints back and forth, and I saw a whole bunch of cops up on the sky bridge watching this happen. And yet I didn't see anyone get a felony joint passing distribution ticket or arrest. So that's three. Number four, quote, if that bag in your pocket contained a crumb over 40 grams, not that unusual for some of us, you could be busted for felony possession, end quote. But I-502 didn't do that. That was the law before I-502 and remains the law now. Anything over 40 grams is a felony. By the way, 40 grams is over an ounce and an eighth, right? It's over, it's actually over an ounce and a half almost, right? 28 and 14 is 42, so it's a little under an ounce and a half. I don't, you know, maybe some people are walking around with an ounce and a half on them at all times, but I think it's something you could kind of plan to avoid. Number five, quote, God help you if you accidentally pass the joint to a minor, by the way, end quote. Gosh, is this a problem? Did we need it? We have a sincere want to pass joints to minors? Is that the issue? Number six, quote, it would take away the rights of individuals to cultivate their own medicine, end quote. No, it, I-502, did not do that. The Washington State Liquor Control Board proposed it because they wanted to regulate that. But now they've relented, people protested, and they're actually going to allow personal cultivation still. Not as much as previously, it is going to be reduced, but you'll still have personal cultivation. Number seven, the feds have made it clear, quote, the feds have made it clear they will intervene if states enact legalization measures. Do we really need more raids and negative attention for cannabis? End quote. The feds have given Washington and Colorado the go-ahead, and they're about to allow us to do banking. So kind of the opposite of what that prediction was. Let's see, number eight. I-502 will increase the cost of medicine by 50% to 75%. Well, we don't know what it's going to sell for in the stores yet. It is overtaxed, but last I checked priceofweed.com, an ounce of weed from medium to high grade weed in Washington State is still going for $200 to $235 an ounce. So, yeah, it's kind of spendy, but not if you're from Florida or Chicago. Number nine, quote, I-502 maintains current criminal penalties for adults under 21 while imposing a new zero-tolerance DUI law, end quote. Yeah, but under 21 was illegal before I-502. And yeah, the DUID laws suck. I'm not going to argue that. They suck. But they don't seem to be having the terrible effect that was predicted. A greater percentage of the people who've been popped for THC are testing under the new 5 nanogram limit than they did in 2012. It was over 60% that were over 5 nanograms in 2012. It's like 53% that are over 5 nanograms in 2013, at least halfway through the year. And the cops aren't pulling more people over. They're still making about 20,000 driving stops a year. So looks like the stone drivers are getting away with it. And the number 10 prediction of I-502 from this blogger who, again, for some reason I just can't remember his name, whatever the hell his name is. But anyway, number 10, quote, when people understand how states cannot create laws that conflict with federal laws, they will realize that all Washington State will be left with if I-502 passes is the DUID law and the right to possess an ounce of cannabis, 16 ounces of food products, or 72 ounces of infused liquids, end quote. Gosh, is that all? Said readers in 48 other states and listeners from around the world. Gee, is that it? Just the legal right to carry an ounce of cannabis or a pound of edibles or a six pack of liquids? That's all? Gee, damn, what a shame. Gosh, we should have voted against that so that 10,000 Washingtonians would have criminal records now that they didn't have before. We should have voted against that so that drug dogs would still be sniffing for marijuana in Washington state. And we should have voted against that so that gatherings like the December 6th Space Needle public pot party with the tents or being able to smoke upstairs at Frankie's in Olympia, we should have voted against that. Yeah, and it is also possible that if only Colorado would have passed legalization, maybe the feds would have been more emboldened to go after just one state instead of two states. Look, stop blaming the lack of regulation in medical marijuana for what's happening with legalization. Stop blaming legalization for the fact that medical wasn't regulated. The people in Washington State had 12 years to have tried to tighten up their medical marijuana regulations, and they fought it, and you were one of them who fought it every step of the way. You were more than happy to live with your loopholes of caregivers and live with your loopholes of collectives and continue to make prohibition profits. This could have been tightened up, but the medical marijuana community, some of them, adamantly fought that and liked being in the gray area where they could make a lot of money and not have regulations. Well, guess what? Now you get regulations like the rest of us.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
That's all the time we got for hour one. Stay tuned for hour two. We're going to look at medical marijuana in Georgia from 1980, plus my Green Rush presentation in its entirety. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, Toker.